welcome back. As many of you may already know, this is your host, Cardzi B. I'm a tarot reader and fashion industry survivor based in New York City. I began learning tarot when I was still in elementary school, and since then, I've turned that hobby into a tarot practice and the creation of my own deck, Badass Bitches Tarot by Cardzi B, as well as various tarot products and events. So we made it through March. If you are here with me listening, that was no small feat. And I am so incredibly proud of all of you, and I am so glad that you have all joined me here to welcome in April, which is just a few days around the corner. I don't know about you, but I have never been so excited to almost be in April. March was no joke. We just had the new moon in Aries this past Tuesday, the 24th, and we had the big spring equinox on the 19th. So we've been seeing literally more and more light coming in the northern hemisphere. It's getting lighter, the days are getting longer, and we have that kind of fiery energy of Aries now working with us. So since we're almost officially in April, I wanted to use this episode to go through our monthly cards. As usual, I'm going to go through the card of the astrological season according to the order of the Golden Dawn when they created the Smith Rider-Waite deck, and that means that we're starting with the Emperor card because it is ruled by Aries and we're in Aries season. So, when we look at the Emperor and the OG Smith Rider-Waite deck, this card shows this almost Pope-like figure sitting on this large stone throne with these four ram's heads on it. And that's showing the connection to Aries and the planet Mars, which is Aries' ruler. And of course, I love this because I'm Aries rising. So I am someone who the Emperor, a lot of cards are polarizing. The Emperor is a polarizing card. It's one that I love. I know not everybody does. In his right hand on the Smith Rider-Waite card, he's holding an Ankh, and that's that Egyptian symbol of life. And in his left, he has an orb, which is said to represent the world that he kind of reigns and rules over. And this card's associated with creating kind of like a solid foundation with how we're going to move forward. I personally like this as a reset because I know a lot of people, when I said it's a polarizing card, I know a lot of people don't love this card because it can be seen as very kind of aggressive masculine energy and rules and regulation, that Mars energy. But my personal take on the Emperor is that it's all about setting up the foundation for your life and how, you know, we want to do that moving forward. How individually do we want to change to, you know, set up our groundwork, set up our life, our homes for success in a way that's more authentic, more aligned, and more in tune with us than it probably was before all of this took place in the world. So I'm welcoming the Emperor in this because I think that it's really interesting. It's the card of the year. It's the fourth major arcana. So 2 + 0 + 2 + 0 = 4. We're in a 4-year and it's ruled by Aries. So we're in the month of the Emperor in an Emperor year. And I think this card is really, really strong and really powerful, which is why I drew this card as Beyonce in the Badass Bitches tarot deck when I was creating it. I mean, they don't call her Queen Bee for nothing. She has set up a whole new structure, not just in pop music, but also as just such a multifaceted career woman, empowered mother, wife, demonstrating that it's possible with, you know, with that focus, that drive, and that self-love to really be a strong force in all of those areas. So I love Beyonce as the Emperor, and I love the Emperor energy. To me, it's just a really powerful card to start off the Zodiac's new year, because Aries is kind of like, it's the baby of the Zodiac. It's where the Zodiac begins with Aries. So in a lot of ways, we're looking at this time as a new year, and many of us may be like, it's not really. I liked my January 1 celebrations a lot more than quarantine New Year. And I hear you. But I do think that working with this is a really powerful restart and refresh. I mean, there's an opportunity to really clear out a lot of things that weren't working for us before. A lot of people, clients that I'm seeing in virtual readings over the phone and FaceTime right now, a lot of people either exited relationships or jobs right before this, or this is literally causing those things to come up, that the energy to come up so that we can face it. And I think that that's a lot of Emperor energy of, you know, as these things come up and we have to look at and really contemplate how, what do I want my life to look like moving forward? And these things that I could kind of sweep under the rug when I was being able to numb and distract and be busy with working, shopping, hanging out with friends. I didn't have to fully look at these things in my life, good or bad. There's also gratitude for a lot of things that are working, that are incredible. So much gratitude for the friends and family members that are really, you know, elevating us as we kind of raise the frequency and elevate each other in this time. But I digress. The Emperor is really, even when things that are being brought up, maybe negative, maybe things that we need to clear, it's all setting space aside for that new foundation that's much more aligned with where we want to go moving forward. So, I mean, it's a time of, for me, I like to look at this because I have such a rebellious Sagittarius personality and I don't work well with rules. So a lot of times people that don't like the Emperor, again, they see it as like this patriarchal rule maker. And, you know, with the you shoulds, you have to do this, do that. You can't leave your home. You have to do this. And we have enough of that around us. So I hear you. I don't love that that energy in general. And it's not my Emperor. It's not how I relate to or see the Emperor. I really see this as an invitation to look at have the free will to release, that we're like, no, that's not working for me anymore. I'm not going to give that energy right now as I reprioritize, but maybe I'm going to leave that energy out of my life going forward. Maybe that's, you're going to watch less news moving forward. Maybe you were in a toxic relationship, a friendship or a romantic relationship, and this is really, as I said, brought that to the surface. And maybe you're going to leave not just that relationship, but toxic relationships that you're not being valued and seen and treated in the way that you know that you deserve and the way that you're now going to treat yourself. So I think that the Emperor is a really empowering period of what is it that we're free to release if we want, and what is it that we can add more in? Is that more meditation? Is that more conversations with people that light you up? Listening to more positive news sources, podcasts, YouTube channels of people that really are kind of, again, increasing the frequency with a really empowering outlook versus a fear-based negative outlook. And is, you know, how is that something that we can add to our foundation long-term and not just necessarily today and not just through this time period? Anyway, the point is, with this card being our card of the month for April, as well as the 2020 year being the Emperor, it's really giving us permission to set ourselves up on a brand new foundation. And like I said, even if you're not into the old patriarchal rulemaking pope guy version of this card, that's cool. Neither am I. There's still so much Aries inspiration and Beyonce vibes we can really work with and harness as we work with the Emperor to kind of strategize and restructure and reprioritize moving forward. All right. So our second card for the month of April, which is what I always do the pull from the first of the year. So the January 1st, 2020 overview, we got the Lovers reverse. So in the OG Smith Rider-Waite version, the Lovers card shows this naked chick and this naked dude underneath the angel. And the angel is said to be Raphael, whose name translates to God heals. And that this card's all about both the physical and the emotional healing that union can bring. And the angels blessing the man and the woman and kind of reminding them of their union with the divine. And it's interesting because I feel like we're in such a time, you know, I wrote a post about this of social distancing, conscious connectivity is the new social distancing. We're connecting in such a powerful, much more meaningful way, right? Whether it's the things we're posting, the calls and the texts we're sending, it's an elevated consciousness that we're connecting with. And I really feel that the Lovers, yes, in some readings and in some, you know, depending on if you're doing a love reading, relationship reading, this can be actual romantic love. But to me, this card is all about union and harmony. In the Badass Bitches Tarot, I drew this as Ellen and Portia because I think that they are that kind of traditional lovers, romantic sense of that beautifully mutual supportive, loving and symbiotic relationship. But like I said, numerologically, even the six, it's the six major arcana, and sixes are associated with love, harmony, and healing. So while romantic relationships, yes, can be all of those things and are, you know, when they're aligned and when they're positive and harmonious relationships, they romantic relationships bring about that healing and that love. But this can also be that healing, that connection to source, universe, God. It can be that connection with ourselves. So I love this card. It's I have a big painting of it in my bedroom. I love the lovers. Astrologically, when we're looking at this, the lovers is ruled by Gemini, and upright, it's like Gemini on a good day. The lovers card's charismatic, it's connective, it's collaborative. However, the reversal, which is what we got, but don't worry, hang in there with me. I am, as you know, annoyingly optimistic. So even though we got the reversal, it's a good thing, kids, just stay with me. The reversal can be like a cranky Gemini on a bad day, like erratic, indecisive, ups and downs. And while the reversal can, yeah, it can indicate disharmony in relationships, which is often the case very literally if you get the lovers reversed in a relationship reading, a love reading. On a bigger scale, I tend to read this card as an opportunity to clear disharmonies within ourselves. So a lot of times reversals come to us with the energies of the previous card. So the Hierophant comes before the lovers in the major arcana, right? It goes number five, the Hierophant, number six, the lovers. And so what lessons or aha moments are coming to us in the month of April? That's kind of that remnants of the Hierophant as a result of the state of the world that we might want to avoid. Maybe the Hierophant was bringing us some like, okay, pay attention to this, like wake up, listen to, feel, look at this. And we wanted to still avoid aspects of that, thus the lovers reversed coming through. And this is the lovers reversed is kind of reminding us that it would be actually beneficial for us to face and examine some of those mirrors, some of those lessons that were coming up with kind of a Hierophant vibe of like, hey, pay attention. You know, in the Hierophant's Oprah in my deck, and Oprah, it was either her or Maya Angelou. She was quoting someone, if it's not her own quote, saying that life at first speaks to you in a whisper, then in an audible voice, and then a shout. So lover's reverse tends to be that louder voice or that shout when we've ignored some of the Hierophant opportunities that may have come up for us in March. Now it's like lover's reverse. We're gonna have to look at this. And the most beneficial thing to do is to face it, lean into it, and examine it. So for me, I've been having moments of just really needing more rest, like sleeping longer than usual and not being motivated to work, like my usual Sag, especially Aries rising self. I'm someone Sagittarius who's very extroverted, always on the go, likes to be talking, doing, creating. And then that Aries Mars ruled energy of the Emperor, like that's my rising, that's wanting to like go and work and create. And so that being said, I've even taken longer to outline and create the podcast last week and this week. I think I spoke about that last week as well. And this was a lot of lovers reversed energy for me of, this feels different and this doesn't feel harmonious with what I'm used to. But when I look into it, I realize I can also be too hard on myself. And I think so many of us are coming up against this energy right now because based on the system that we're all used to, especially in Western society, especially in New York City, in that Western society of where I'm coming from, many of us feel this pressure to be what we've been taught is quote unquote productive. In, you know, in some shape or form at all times, like we should always be working or doing or creating or, you know, not just lounging around like a sloth. We're supposed to be quote unquote productive. But when we look at the Hierophant energy that precedes that lover's reversal again, it reminds us to choose the option for our highest good, meaning sometimes sleep is productive, meaning sometimes not working is the more healing option. And that's like crazy for a lot of us, right? Not working sometimes is the more healing option. Sometimes not forcing work when we aren't inspired is the more productive option for our bodies, for our minds, and for the work itself. Because it's of a higher caliber when we feel aligned in producing it. So that end product that's going to, you know, this thing that we're creating and whatever it is our work is, whether it's our words like me with this podcast, whether it's those of you that are visual artists in some way, that work is going to be of a higher vibration, of a higher frequency to its receiver, whether that's the listener, someone who's going to, you know, wear a product you're designing, whether that's a patient that you're seeing. If you can really be in a higher frequency when you're creating that work. And I know that not all of us have that luxury. You know, for example, for those of us who are on the front lines as nurses and doctors, I mean, you're on, right? So I have so much love and gratitude for everyone that are in those positions. But for those of us doing work that we have, and this in some ways, it is such an opportunity this time that we have extra time, that we have that luxury given to us from the universe of, if I need to rest, because like I said, not all of us can right now. So those of us who can, let's really afford ourselves that so that we can be the highest version of ourselves and create the highest work when we do create. I really think that's been such an important and impactful lesson. So, you know, it's not an easy one for me. I'm really trying to work with it right now, because that's really been one that I'm like, okay, this is coming up as a big mirror for me. And I had a conversation with one of my besties right before recording this, during which I shared that I'm like, I'm scared I'm being lazy right now. I feel like I need to be doing more, creating more. And she said, no good will come of you being mean to yourself, especially in this time. And she said, I want you to talk to yourself like you would to a client that shared they felt that they were a little bit slower and needed a little bit more rest. And I think that is some lover's reverse / hierophant vibes we can all use right now, is just that kindness to ourselves where we can, where it's feasible, let ourselves rest, let ourselves listen to our bodies and our minds and our spirit. And that's kind of part of that reset when we go back into the emperor. Like, how are we going to reset? How are we going to create a better, a more aligned, a more in tuned and conscious foundation as we move forward, as things, you know, move through this period? And people keep saying, you know, quote unquote, go back to normal. I don't think it's going back to what it was. And I think that's a good thing. So what do we want that new normal to look like in terms of the emperor? What is that new foundation going to look like? And how can we work with this lover's reverse? How can we work with these kind of starts and stops and this friction we're coming up against to really see how we need to work differently, how we need to be kinder to ourselves? The lovers, 6, kindness, harmony, love. How can we use this to love ourselves more and be kinder to ourselves? Okay, now for the card of the week. Wheel of Fortune. Okay, love this card. I literally, it's the cover of Tarot of the Bohemians. It's Madonna in my deck. All good things. So here we go. The Wheel of Fortune in the Smith Rider Waite deck is shown with a giant wheel. Obviously, that's the focus, with the 4 Hebrew letters spelling out the name of God. And there are also the letters T-O-R-A, which has a few meanings. 1, referring to the Torah. 2, to tarot, if you take off, you know, the T, and in Torah, if you take off the H, or rota, meaning wheel. So this can be reconstructed to be tarot, Torah, and wheel, rota. On the outside of this massive wheel is a snake sitting on the left side, which is said to be the Egyptian god Typhon, the god of evil. And then Anubis, the Egyptian god of the dead, is on the right side. And on top of the wheel is the Sphinx, which represents knowledge and strength. In the corners of the Wheel of Fortune are these 4 winged creatures, and they're each associated with the 4 fixed signs of the zodiac. So the angels associated with Aquarius, the eagle associated with Scorpio, the lion obviously Leo, and the bull obviously Taurus. And the wings on all of these figures, which are not typically winged, and as we know them as symbols of the zodiac, they don't have wings, but the wings here are said to represent kind of the grace and stability among amongst this movement and change. And each of them is holding a Torah representing wisdom. So I think it's kind of, that's something that, you know, I personally would really like to embody in this time period, is just holding that grace and stability amidst all of the chaos and change and upheaval. Numerologically, the Wheel of Fortune is the number 10. So 10s in the tarot represent transcendental completion. In the Badass Bitches tarot, I drew this card, as I said, Madonna, the queen of reinvention and evolution. And, you know, for those of you who are frequent listeners to the podcast, you know, just as a musician, I've loved her since I was a kid for her tenacity and constant forward motion and just being willing to reinvent herself and put herself out there in so many different ways. This card is a really powerful guide. I love this card regardless. That's why I think they chose it as the cover of Tarot of the Bohemians way, way back in the 1890s. But this card is also especially potent for us right now. So even if there are moments that test us, a la the Lover's Reverse, and require us to reconsider our foundations and our structures moving forward, aka the Emperor, the Wheel of Fortune gently pushes us forward as a reminder that we're always in motion. We're always evolving and always changing. And Wheel of Fortune to me is about embracing the unknown and even unpleasant situations, like exactly what we're in right now, to try to see how they're teaching us and helping us to grow and to expand. Now, I get that people are, the people that are averse to this card, it's because the card is literally about kind of the lack of security in some ways. It's about this too shall pass, you know, as in the good and the bad shall pass. And the Wheel of Fortune, much like the situation we're all currently in with coronavirus, can make us feel that our free will is threatened. And I had a really good question that came through last week, but I didn't get a chance to address it because I got it in my DMs after I already recorded Sunday's podcast. But since this, I feel, relates directly to Wheel of Fortune, I'm gonna just flip to this question right now. Hey, Cardzy, you've done several readings for me in the past, and they have all been incredibly accurate and healing. The thing that I found comforting when I first came to you was your explanation of free will, and how while a reading would show the energies around me, I always had the free will to proceed however I chose, given the information. I'm not feeling that I have a lot of free will right now, or that anyone does for that matter. Any guidance on this would be appreciated. Electric Alexis 92. Thank you so much, Alexis. I really appreciate this question, and I know a lot of us are feeling very similarly right now. And while I agree that our relationship with free will has most likely been altered and even rocked, again, that Lover's Reverse energy, we still absolutely have access to free will in this time. But like Wheel of Fortune, it's just using it differently and maybe accessing it in a different way than what we were used to. So the Wheel of Fortune is always in movement, like the earth and the forces outside of us. One thing that helps me with anxiety and worry right now is embracing that the choices and control that we still have in our physical and our emotional realms. Like, what is it, even though these things like Wheel of Fortune, right, are moving outside of us and it feels very much out of our control. And from one perspective, yes, it totally is. But we do still have a lot of free will. And how can we utilize that to kind of in alignment with our highest self? So for those of us who are still somewhat healthy and in our homes, in the day-to-day physical world, even though we can't do certain things and go certain places, we really do still have so much choice and free will. I try to remember and really appreciate that personally, I can choose what I'm going to eat for breakfast. If I'm going to have my matcha iced or have it hot, what I'm going to wear, and that I can choose what I watch and how and what information I take in. Things we used to do on autopilot, we now have time to really pay attention to and appreciate. From an emotional perspective, we can still choose to stop and ask, is this my own fear or stress I'm feeling, or am I picking this up from other people? A lot of people are in fear right now, and while we can send them love and understanding, we can use our free will to not take on their fear. And that can be people that we're in quarantine with, people that we speak to, or people on TV and social media even. I personally have found the more that we embrace those moments of free will with presence and gratitude, the more that we work with Wheel of Fortune. And that's when that reinvention and evolution part of the card gets really good. I hope that that was helpful. Please keep your questions coming for upcoming episodes. I've been so appreciative of all of them. And I know that a lot of the questions that you've sent in, other listeners have DM'd me and said have been really helpful. So do thank you and please keep them coming. Also, thank you for just all the beautiful DMs and emails and donations. These have meant the world to me and they've helped keep my frequency high in these times and helps me continue to do my work. So I am in such gratitude of all of you. I'm still going to be doing Instagram Lives every Monday, so coming up tomorrow night, Monday at 7:30, if you'd like a free live mini reading, 7:30 Eastern time. If you can't be present, I'll still leave the live up for 24 hours, so feel free to send your questions through via DM at CardsEB or through my site, badassbitchestarot.com. I love you all so much. Continue to stay safe, and as always, stay magical AF.